Thank you so much for listening to the Midlife Rewired podcast. If this content is useful to you, please subscribe, rate, and share with your friends and loved ones. This will be my first solo podcast, and I figured that would be appropriate considering the topic today, and that is ayahuasca. Now, that word may not mean much to some, and it may be a life-changing word to others, but ayahuasca is a very personal experience, and I figured I would share my own. Now, there are other people who I know who are very interesting people, have very interesting lives, who you may never expect that would be interested in an ayahuasca ceremony. And I'll be talking to some of them in the future. And I'm also going to be talking to the shaman who I was fortunately introduced to back in early 2012. And she's coming on the podcast as well, which I'm really grateful and excited about. She's currently in Peru at her retreat right now for some time. So looking forward to that. So ayahuasca, what is it? What's it for? Why bother? I mean, I've had a lot of people say, like, what are you doing that for? It seems very risky. It seems kind of crazy. Maybe very fringe. You know, you'd be surprised, actually, you know, when you get into these ceremonies, the mix of people. But I'll get to that in a little bit. So why? Why do ayahuasca? What is it for? Well, first off, I'm not going to get into too much detail about what the medicine actually is. And it is considered medicine. This is an ancient shamanic medicine. They say it goes back to approximately 1000 AD. It's a vine and a leaf from the jungle, and basically the vine has to be a specific sort of age and circumference, and the leaf, and it's all pounded and pulped together, and it's cooked in the jungle for 7 days into this thick, black, disgusting sludge, which I can almost taste in my mouth right now just thinking back. So it's a pretty nasty brew, but it is something that is absolutely game-changing. Now, I figured just in terms of how I'm going to structure this is that I'm going to share a little bit more about what ayahuasca is, but then I'm going to go into my four ceremonies. So I've had four ceremonies. One was in 2012, another in 2014, another in 16, and another in 18. So I'm about an every other year cadence with my personal ceremonies. Some people, when they start to do this, have unbelievably delved into this in terms of cadence. They do several times a year and they do it for long periods of time. But this has been enough for me, so this is what I'll talk about. Now, as far as your spiritual journey, as far as healing goes, it's kind of something that gives you a little peek under the curtain at another perspective. It's really kind of hard to explain, and the interesting thing is every time you think you can explain what it is, it changes. So every single ceremony has been different, although there is some common threads that I'll talk about as well. But basically it removes the filter of our perception of what we believe to be true. We see the world through our five senses. We see the world through our own experiences, our own perspectives. But when you look through the eyes of this medicine with your ego aside, you see something entirely different. Basically, how did I hear about this? Well, two friends of mine who I'm still very close with, who have been on a spiritual path for a long time, did a ceremony in 2011. I believe it was in the city of Toronto, and it was not in a great location from what I understand. It was sort of in some kind of place downtown in an upstairs building, and you know, I'll talk more about the ceremony, but it didn't seem very good location for this. Their experience was quite dramatic. They were violently sick, running to the bathroom continuously, and quite haunted from this experience. So especially one of the guys. So they've not done it yet. I've talked to them since, and usually when I go, I've asked them to go, and they're not really interested. It's something that you need to integrate from after, and it's something that can expose you to your own sort of dark side, and you need to process that information, and it takes some time. So my first experience was 2012, and I was referred to the shaman through these two guys I mentioned. Now, the first trip that I did, what was a trip to get there? I won't call it a trip. I just want to add one other thing as well. When I talked about ayahuasca to some people, they immediately assumed that because it's me, and it was like, this is 2012, I was in the full party swing, that, you know, it's just some another party, some drug to take to hallucinate, to have fun, and you know, I'm gonna go up there and party with a bunch of people in some place. And that couldn't be further from the truth. It is not a party. It is not a party. It is work. It is self-discovery. It'll split you into pieces and put you back together again. But it is not a party, and it's not a group thing. When the ceremony starts, it's a very individual thing. So I've had people come to me and say, well, we should get a group together and do this. Well, every time I've done this, it's been with a group of complete strangers, by myself, on my own, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I think that would just change the energy of the whole thing. And I've heard couples say, well, we want to go to do it together. I think that's a horrible idea as well. Couples have their own things, their own energies, their own patterns. Some things serve them, some don't. This is an opportunity to step aside and look at yourself. And then you can look back at your relationships and everything else and see how it all layers in. So my first one, as I mentioned, was 2012. It was February, and this happened to be all the way up in North Bay. It was at Crystal Mountain in this little A-frame cottage. So first off, I'm driving up to North Bay, and that's a long drive, and it's starting to snow pretty heavily that night. And it's interesting, I actually wrote a little blog about this first one, so I'm going to just kind of skim through it, because I wrote a lot of details. Just like anything, with your first time with anything, it's you know, it's always sort of special and vivid, and a little crazy. So we get up to this place, and it is snowing really heavily, and I'm thinking, wow, how am I going to even get out of here at the end of the day? I was very nervous. Before you do these ceremonies, you need to fast at least the day of, and you only eat plant medicine, abstain from drugs, alcohol, sex, all kinds of things. There's a long list of preparation, and physically and mentally, before you join one of these ceremonies. So I get up to this place, I roll up there, and you know, I look in the driveway, I see some decent cars there, so I'm assuming it's not a trap, and they're not going to kill me. At least I didn't think so. And just as I pull in the driveway, I park for a second, and some dude comes walking out, slender dude, and to greet me. And it was very, very kind, and he walks out, but I noticed he was in his bare feet, and there was probably a foot of snow at this point, and it was coming down hard. So that was a little interesting. Anyway, so we got into this place, and we signed a waiver and settled in. Essentially, it was about 12 people, and we kind of like congregate in a circle, and we settled in together in a circle. This is probably about 8 o'clock at night at this point. So the ceremony scheduled to start at 9 o'clock, scheduled finish at 9 a.m., 12 hours overnight. It was interesting to look around at sort of the dynamic of different people there. Everybody was there for a different reason, and this is the part of the night where typically you state your intention publicly and describe what your intention is and purpose for being there. So it varies heavily. So some people are there for to try to deal with an addiction. Some people are there to deal with depression, with anxiety, any kind of healing. At this point in my experience, and this is again 2012, I was still very much ego driven, so I kind of went in there with a intention of saying I need to be further spiritual enlightened, so kind of assuming that I was all good, but I just needed a little extra kicker. And you know, this is again just an illusion and delusion of my own sort of standing in my spiritual experience at that time. So again, we go around a circle. There's a whole bunch of different characters there. And there was two people in particular who did seem like they were struggling with something before we even started. They were just, you could just feel it. And you know, I wasn't necessarily overly perceptive to energy at that time either, but I could just feel that two people there were really, really struggling or suffering. And so the time has come where we are going to drink this little brew. So essentially, you know, you can picture just a kind of a shot glass sized mug, and we go around in a circle, and the shaman calls us one by one. We go to the front, we drink the brew, we go back to our spot. And I should add too, our spot is basically a yoga mat with a sleeping bag or a blanket and a little pillow. And then they come around and they handed us our barf buckets. So purging is a big process of ayahuasca. And basically the barf buckets showed up, and that starts to get real at that point. I was pretty nervous. I mean, obviously, you know, this is a big deal. I've experimented with many different things, but this was something completely different. We drink the brew, and I think that's when the journey started to really happen. I was one of the last ones to drink the brew, and I did seem to have a pretty heavy tolerance in those days. So at this point, people were starting to retch. People were starting to stir. There was a lot of stuff going on, and this is a pitch black dark room. You can't see a damn thing, nothing but the flickering of a fireplace over in the corner. And people are retching. I'm starting to hear people sobbing. So this is happening. So, you know, I lay back in my mat and, you know, starting to feel kind of a little nauseous, a little hot. And that's when the journey sort of began. And I could tell you straight off the hop, it's like nothing I had ever experienced. Nothing like mushrooms or certainly like marijuana or anything you could imagine that may have a hallucinogenic quality. It was nothing like that at all. So initially, I started to see colors, and you know, I started to feel like I was traveling down this rabbit hole, and I kind of popped out on this like beach, and it was covered in purple clear sand, and the view was like nothing my imagination had ever conjured to date. So it was just something like I'd never seen, just unbelievable. So I was kind of like in that state for a little while, and I want to add that the ceremonies are absolutely beautiful. There are people there with various instruments, their voices, many instruments from that actual culture, and the room is sort of filled with tobacco. So it really has a feel of something other than just a room and this medicine. It's like it's a full experience. So at this point, I was actually felt like I was hearing mosquitoes buzzing in the forest. I really felt like I was in the jungle when I was in that state, and that really added so much more to it. So I'm in that state for a little while. I don't know if I necessarily had picked up much at this point. I did sort of err on the side of caution with the dosage. Typically, the shaman will make an assessment based on everybody's intention, potentially their size and their willingness to go deep. And she sort of gives you a portion proportionate to what you think you can handle, or what she thinks you can handle. So I erred on the side of caution. So I was pretty deep, but then usually in these ceremonies about halfway through the night, so say around midnight, she offered a second cup. So I went and took a big second cup. And when that hit me, I went really, really deep. Now, it was really something, because there's a lot of people crying, a lot of stuff going on. And before I really went deep, it was interesting. I kind of looked over to the left of me, and there's a girl that was about three people over. And she was, you know, she was one of those two people I mentioned earlier who really looked like she was suffering. She was kind of really quiet. She was dressed in dark clothes. And she was retching and puking and crying. And the poor thing, she was really in a bad way. And this is, I'll never forget this moment. This was like one of the most magical things that's happened to me in my life. I looked over at that girl, and typically what I would see in my day-to-day experience would be an unattractive woman puking and hurling and just be disgusted or grossed out by that, or just wanted to separate myself from that immediately. And my feeling was the exact opposite. I looked over at her with love and compassion, and I really cared about her. I was really worried about her. And I looked at her, and I could see a dark aura all around her. It really looked like a black cocoon that had sort of encapsulated this poor girl. And I looked over at her, and she looked up at me, and I could see the shame, and she was just kind of looked away fast, just because she probably assumed I was going to respond like I might have had I not been working with the medicine. And I looked at her, and I just looked over her, and I just sent her love, and I just like sent her, you know, you're going to be okay, I love you, you're okay. And it was just amazing. And she looked over, and our eyes locked, and instantly she kind of made a little smile, and it was just like that darkness dissipated and sort of went away. And she just kind of laid back for the first time in peace. And she just laid back into her bed and sort of started to relax. And it was just one of the most amazing things for me to experience that. And that really set the tone for the rest of my own experience. So at this point, I am very deep into the medicine. And something profound happened, and there was suddenly scrolls of words coming up in front of me, one scroll at a time. And the scroll would come out, and there was a voice reading these words to me. But I already knew what the words were, and I already knew what the message was, even before the words came, if that makes sense. So it was something reading this to me, but I already had the wisdom and the knowledge, and it was page after page after page of amazing messages and amazing wisdom that was just sort of permeating my consciousness. And it's really difficult to tell you exactly what any of it was now, but the message was very, very clear, and it was all about kindness, and it was all about openness and acceptance and really being kind to people, especially people that are close to me. So that was kind of what I took away from that. But it was really, really quite profound to see those scrolls coming up and knowing what the words were before they were even read to me. And, you know, it just sort of changes you forever. Like, and I want to say, like, basically, ayahuasca sort of drives a wedge into your reality, and it kind of opens something up that allows a little more light in, or a little more something that meditation alone would take a longer time to sort of achieve. So I find that's, you know, one of the benefits of plant medicine and, you know, taking a little bit of a different approach to your spiritual journey, is that this is kind of like hitting the fast forward button for me, where it sort of sped up my journey and opened me up to something that I just wasn't letting in, or I wasn't open to, or I wasn't ready to understand or ready to receive. So anyway, it's now, I mean, the windows are blacked out in this place. Now I'm starting to see light coming in through the cracks. So this has been, you know, it's probably like 7:30, 8 a.m. at this point. And it feels like 10 hours went by in a minute. It was really intense. Now, I did not purge on this particular journey. And I'll explain later why bragging about that was probably not a good thing. I was, you know, oh, Brian the Tank, he doesn't get sick. Well, I was spared that time, but not in times to come after. So anyway, we wake up in the morning. I shouldn't say we wake up. I wasn't sleeping. I never slept at wink. It seemed like some people kind of slept at the end. So here we are, 12 people at the end. You know, the shaman says, okay, everybody come on around. Let's kind of close the ceremony. So just as we open the ceremony in a circle with our attention, we close the ceremony with our experience and how it felt, or how it compared to our intention, to see if we actually, you know, we're on track with what we had kind of hoped to achieve from the ceremony. Interestingly, so when, you know, you show up, for me, I'm a bit of a guarded guy by nature, I think, or at least by experience, and I think much less so now, but 2012, very guarded, you know, I kind of felt very comfortable being there with a group of people and talking about anything that sort of was personal. And maybe that's why I didn't really even get into anything personal with my attention. But in the morning, it really felt like we were family. And I had so much respect for all those people, for the work they were doing, and how they were sharing and they're opening their hearts up about their experiences. And a lot of people talk about trauma and abuse and things that, you know, you wouldn't expect to talk to in a group of people that you just met. But in the morning, the guards were gone, our egos were gone, and it was just a really, really warm, really warm group. And you know, I kind of get like a little bit emotional now just thinking about it, because it's just so fucking overwhelming to be with people where you can actually just be okay to express yourself and be open about that. And you know, and it's not easy for a dude like me who's like a bit ego driven, you know, in those days for sure. Still an ongoing battle every day, but it was really, really eye opening for me and really healing, I guess, in hindsight. So we closed the ceremony. It was quite amazing. In the morning, we actually do a little potluck breakfast, and it was just kind of like raw fruits and veggies and a few things. And we hadn't eaten anything in, you know, 24 hours prior to this, so I was pretty hungry. But I was also starting to get a little bit anxious to go, because it was such a long drive and there was a snowstorm all night. So this is funny. So I had very, very little to eat. I was, you know, pretty hungry, but I was completely alert and completely alive. I felt like there was energy rushing through my body. It was just quite a amazing feeling, considering I hadn't had a wink of sleep or any food for 24 hours. Get into my truck and I'm pulling on it, and it is tons of snow. Like, I feel like my truck is just kind of like floating over this massive amount of snow, and thankfully it is good in snow. And so the route home from Toronto, from North Bay, is basically Highway 400 if you're from Ontario, Canada. And anyway, along the highway, there was a lot of carnage with cars, and I'm not even joking when I say I pulled over and I pushed three cars out of the ditch on the way home just using my energy. And it was really hard to imagine this, but I pulled over, I helped push three cars out of the ditch on the way home. And that might sound a little far-fetched, but I'm not even joking. I had some superhuman strength going on that day, and you know, it was just unbelievable. So when I got back, you know, the biggest thing about these types of experiences with ayahuasca in particular, it's the integration that's very important that comes next. So it took some time to integrate from 2012, and I think that's basically how I came up with my own sort of every second year sort of schedule. So I had made arrangements to do my next ceremony in 2014. Now, I actually started to get a little better about making notes after these ceremonies from this point forward. So I have some point form thoughts to sort of share from my notes. It was actually kind of fun to go through my old journals to take a look and see what I had written about these experiences. So 2014 was another location. It wasn't as far away. For all four of the trips that I've been on, they were all at really beautiful locations away from the city, usually in these sort of new age spiritual communities, or sometimes a native land. And it's just a magical experience to sort of get away and to be in that spot. You just kind of feel the energy so different even to start. So 2014, my intention was to find some strength for the load I was carrying. So basically, I felt like I was kind of going through a lot at that time. My second child was on the way, just feeling a lot of pressure, I guess, at that point in my life. And I was looking for some strength or some clarity at that time to help me through it. So while we were sort of sitting around with the group, I think there was about 14 people in a circle. So we're sitting around waiting for the ceremony to start. Somebody had some oracle cards, And after going through a little sort of process, I pulled lightning, which is power. And so I thought that was perfect. And considering I have lightning bolts tattooed on my body, it seems sort of fitting. So my messages from this one were to be a guiding light for others, to always be grateful, to be kind, and to be aware, and to fill in the gaps was what I thought. So I felt like there's a sort of a me, a sort of a consciousness or something that's I'm part of, but there's a lot of holes in that. So I felt like I really needed to fill the gaps in. I got some specific business insights from this particular journey, which was kind of interesting as well. And then there was also a few things that I was thinking about in terms of the people I'm around. Like if something happened, who would take care of me? I walked away from this one as well, feeling for the first time in my life that I needed to ensure that I found time for creativity. Creativity is sort of a thing that I sort of disassociated with. I think at some point in my high school years, I was really, really quite good at art, but I started to head down the technology sort of side of things, thinking about trying to find a job, not to necessarily thinking that an artist could make any money. So it's something that I've sort of picked back up at that point, and so it was a great message. Okay, so that was 2014 in a nutshell. So 2016 was my next ceremony. My intention for this one was to seek truth. So I think based on my intentions, looking at back from 2012 to 14 to 16, I'm starting to see some evolution here in terms of the words I'm using and what my intention is. I think there's just some more self-awareness that came with that. And I had been meditating all the way throughout this time as well. So there was a lot of self-discovery happening. So one thing about ayahuasca I didn't mention earlier was that it is a feminine medicine. So some things are considered masculine. I think iboga is masculine, but ayahuasca is feminine. And you can sort of feel that when you're sort of in the grasp of mother, as they call her, this medicine. Started out, I have written down here that it was kind of like Treehouse meets Tetris. So you might have a little visual on that, which was kind of interesting. So I kind of came in with this one looking for truth, and I felt like I was really coming in strong and maybe even trying to bully the medicine into sort of going where I wanted to. And I remember clearly during this ceremony that I was kind of having a tantrum like a child because I wanted to go down a certain path, and it was sort of leading me somewhere else, and I wasn't accepting that. And it was almost like a standoff with my ego to kind of hold on to what I thought this should be and where it was. And she was patient with me, but she was strong, lifted me up and showed me some truth. So, and it wasn't just, truth is something hard to explain. You know, it's a very broad term, but it was my truth. I had written down my truth. And my truth was not to be cocky, to be humble, to be kind, but also to take time to nurture myself. I'd never said that before. I never thought about myself, and you know, later on looking back to myself as a child and that inner child meditation where you can look back at yourself and you know sort of love yourself too, where you can actually heal from that. So I digress a little here, but the ceremony was absolutely beautiful. The music and the songs were just unbelievable. And I must add, this is some of the most beautiful music you'll ever hear, and it just fits so well with the medicine. It's just like absolutely enchanting. And I remember sitting there, I sat up throughout most of this ceremony, and just with a big smile on my face and tears pouring out of my eyes pretty much the whole time. And now that kind of happens to me almost every time, and I think that's pretty common for others as well. But it's just amazing, the feeling of that healing, and but you're safe. And this particular ceremony, I never really left my body. It was kind of there throughout. I had made a note for myself to create more space in my life. I feel like I was overscheduling things one after another, and maybe that's where it kind of got back to my intention. Don't overschedule, don't overcommit, leave room to be and enjoy the journey. So those are the notes I took after this one, and those are all amazing things that I still continue to apply and work towards and study and embody to this current day. My last one, up until currently is 2017. This is when I really broke through the crust. I really finally started to shift my energy. My intention was to find balance, peace, and healing. So this is something entirely different, again, from me being spiritually enlightened in 2012 to understanding that we all need to heal. And it's something that dudes don't talk about, per se, certainly not the way I grew up, but I made a note as well for this one to say it was the best ever. It was a really special ceremony. So what did I learn from this? Well, to be my authentic self, authenticity about who I am, rather than scripting things. So, and I was asking myself, why do I script? So an example of that is, you know, when somebody you may want to impress is talking and you're not thinking, you're not listening to what they're saying, you're just thinking how you're going to respond in a really profound way to make yourself look special. So that's basically what I was, what I learned from that, what I needed to stop doing, because, you know, I'm not that that happens all the time, but listening to somebody, actually really listening to somebody, and then instead of scripting my answer, just being absolutely truthful in myself, take it or leave it. So that was the big message from this one. I was studying dreams from my childhood throughout the ceremony as well, and I was sort of urged to continue to look at my childhood and my dreams from that time and try to fulfill some of those dreams that I may have let go of, or but when the world kind of sort of comes down and says, you can't do this, you can't do that, to circle back on that, maybe say, hey, maybe I can do that. You know, why can't I do that? It's you know, and this is an interesting thing when it comes to our beliefs, which are mostly shaped through our childhood, how we can actually reshape those beliefs and rewire our minds today through thoughts and installing different programs and shifting our paradigms. What else did I learn? Be kind, patient. Kindness is something that came up in every ceremony I've ever been in. And understand emotions better, my own and others. So understand where somebody's coming from, noticing my own emotions, when my own anger comes up. And anger is something that I never really thought I had a problem with, but I have been repressing emotions. Obviously, throughout my life, I've repressed emotions, and anger is, and frustration, I think, is how sometimes those trapped emotions sort of manifest. And understanding that has been a huge, huge thing for me. And to notice more things, to notice things and be grateful. So those are basically some of the things. So I actually had a lot of notes in 2017. It was around self-awareness and habits as well. I was looking at my habits, thinking how I can improve them, and really habits are so important. You know, you can study anything you want, but unless you actually employ a habit and install a habit into your and create a daily routine around that habit, you're not going to rewire or change too much at all. So that was huge, but I needed to do a ton of work on myself is basically what I took away from 17. Ayahuasca really removes the bullshit filter that we have, that our ego-driven filter, and it gives us a real look at your truth, the truth of who you are and where you come from, and realizing as well when these states that we are all connected, and it's just all of us manifesting in this meat sack for a period of time, and we take ourselves so seriously, and we all also think we're so separate, you know, so it's really hard to explain not being separate to someone who isn't necessarily on a spiritual path, because, you know, there's so much competition, and at the foundation of all this, we're connected. I had tears of joy again through this whole thing. I was so grateful again once for my beautiful shaman, and she is just an absolutely magnificent human being. I really love her. Like, she's just amazing. I also learned a little bit more about my fears in this one, and I have a great awareness of those fears now. And after this ceremony, I wrote some letters to a few people as well, and it's just another way of sort of expressing some things that have been trapped. It's amazing when it's sort of, you can open the door to this truth in this process, and when the door is open, it's only open for a little while, and it starts to close as the reality of our lives start to come back in, and it's that opportunity where you can really make a big shift in your life and you can really see things for how they are and notice the way you respond to things and notice the patterns that may not serve us. And so I made some adjustments and I wrote some letters, and when you send a letter, they've got that letter. So, you know, that door I mentioned starts to close and life starts to creep back in very quickly, and the bills are waiting and all the other responsibilities. But you change forever after something like this. You really are never the same person. There is some kind of physiological, psychological, spiritual shift that happens that changes you forever, and it's such an amazing thing. Now, I've not done ayahuasca since 2017. I have tried since then another form of plant medicine, which I'll talk about on a future podcast, which is just as profound and absolutely mind-boggling. And I think I'll leave it at that. But you know, if you're interested in ayahuasca, you can reach out to me. I'd be happy to share my experience with you and give you some guidance. It's something I would highly recommend if you're on a path, if you're looking for more, if you want to look for more meaning, you want to know more about yourself, know more about the world around you. It is just a beautiful experience. It's very, very positive. Now, if you've got demons, if you've got darkness, you're going to go face to face with it. You can't hide from it. So, you know, I understand the fear around that. For people who are repressing things, there's going to be some pain in that process. But, you know, what's the alternative? You could just keep it harbored up inside you, and you know, it will manifest in some other way, and it might not be pretty. So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed that, and we'll see you soon.